Revelation chapter 11, where we will be reading verses 1 through 19, the whole chapter in Revelation 11. Chapter 11, verse 1, these are God's words. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. A second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and Your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that You should reward Your servants the prophets and the saints and those who fear Your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen in His temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. And those are God's words. Leading up to the seventh trumpet, that's found in verse 14, and after, the apostle John is called to measure the temple, which is exactly what is spoken of back in Ezekiel chapter 40. And I encourage you to read that and then compare that here. Notice the temple proper is measured and not the outer court of the Gentiles. The temple and everything about it, even the worshipers, are measured. And so we see that God has a strict regard for His temple, that is, His church. Every detail, beloved, remember that as we look at Chronicles this evening, every detail He has strict regard for. And there will always be His visible church and its worship till the end of time. And those in the outer court who worship falsely and who go after other gods are rejected. They are not measured. And they tread the holy city, it says, the visible church, underfoot for a certain amount of time. But such desolations of Christ's church are for a limited time, a short time, and she will be delivered out of all of her troubles. And that's the word of comfort from verses 1 and 2. And then through verse 13, We see the two witnesses talked about. And note there are few but sufficient witnesses. They are faithful, for so they do like the old prophets in good times and in bad times, even in sackcloth, they remain faithful. And so these may speak of generally faithful ministers of God. And they minister at the same time as the church is tread upon by the wicked for 42 months, which is the same time as the number of days. As they minister, they are upheld by the power of the Lord, verse 3. Verse 4 refers us back to Zechariah chapter 4 and Zerubbabel and Joshua, in which God gave them power through a godly life, through courage, strength, and zeal, in which he's communicating something about the ministers of God today and how they ought to conduct themselves. They're protected by the Word of God. And persecutors will come, but they will have an end. They will come to nothing. Their testimony will be, these witnesses will be even greater because they will become martyrs. And such we've seen throughout history, persecuted and killed for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. But there's hope for them who are faithful. Hope for those who are faithful. Verse 11, they will be resurrected and ascend to glory. But the wicked who follow after the Antichrist will perish. The children of God who fear the Lord, verse 13, would give glory to the Lord. Verse 14, to the end is the seventh trumpet, it sounds. And the saints and angels are loud with joyful acclamations, exalting in the Lord and Christ who reigns forever. The elders, verse 17, that we've talked about before, give thanks to the Lord who reigns because of His power. And those at enmity among the nations because of Christ reigning are angry. And they're angry today and will continue to be angry until the judgment. Verse 19, the temple is said to be opened. And what is there is the Ark of the Covenant, which is opened and not hidden from the people of God. And what privilege we have in Christ who has made a way, we learn in Hebrews, to into the Holy of Holies as we've prayed, and His grace, that is His grace to us through propitiation. But with great privilege and blessing to the people of God comes also, we think of Romans 8, comes awful providences, because the world hates when God's people are blessed and prosper in Christ. But this is a picture of, again, it seems like Mount Sinai with judgment upon the wicked. At the end of the day, I know it's hard to see a lot of what we're going into because I'm not going into very much detail, but at the end of the day, the message here is be faithful. Ministers also must be faithful, even to death if necessary. But through it, God will show His power. In all of this, beloved, we must be comforted by the God who supports His people, and in the end will bring us to Himself. Because what? The big message of Revelation is Christ is victorious. And the church is victorious in Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we see again here. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise and we're thankful. We are thankful for this book of Revelation, though it's hard to understand at times. Beloved, we would know what the meaning is of these passages so much more clear if we only knew the prophets more. And so, Father, we ask that we would meditate upon Your Word day and night. We pray that we would know and understand Your prophets more of the Old Testament, so that we can understand what's happening here and all the pictures that are happening, whether it's in Ezekiel or Zechariah or other books. Father, we look back and we think of just the Ezekiel and the measuring of the temple and how the water flows out from the throne there, and it goes and it wherever the water touches, it creates life and fruit. And we remember that living water is Jesus Christ. He is how one lives and has hope and bears fruit. And so, Father, we ask that we would be a faithful people, even if necessary, faithful unto death. That You would Continue your church, preserve your church till the end, even as the world hates your people because they hate Jesus Christ, your Son, they hate you. Our Father, may we be faithful. And may you comfort us, knowing that even if we are killed or put to death, you will raise us up. You'll raise us up and give us new glorified bodies. You'll bring us to glory and make us perfectly holy. And this we love, we hope in. And we're thankful for the victory we have in Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray for our brother in Pittsburgh, George Scipione. Some of us know him, or at least know of him, heard him preach, and pray that you would comfort his wife and family and those friends that are near and dear to him. We pray that you would continue to give him strength. We're thankful that he is home and not in the hospital. Pray that you would strengthen him to continue proclaiming your word as long as you give him breath and his days are numbered. We're thankful for this. And Father, we pray that you would bring him unto yourself at the right time. Pray that he would die well. That he would, as we're reminded of this, be a good example to us to die well. As each day, each one of us grows older and comes closer to that day in which we will die in our bodies. Father, our comfort alone is found in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ. And may that always be our hope and our comfort. Father, we also pray for our nations. We think, as we go to Chronicles this evening and think of the nation of Judah, we see the wickedness that is happening in our nation of so many people dying, being put to death, and sacrificed so others can gain from their death. And we think of that great sin of abortion. And I pray that you would condemn those who would commit it. You would raise up those fathers who are those fathers of those children being aborted or want to be aborted. And we ask that you would give them strength to stop it, if possible. Pray those for those mothers, that they would hear the word, to turn back from it, that they would hear the gospel. Pray for those who preach in their presence, even as they go into abortion clinics, that they would hear the gospel and believe unto salvation. Pray for those babies, that you would show mercy to them, even as you consider the wickedness of their parents. Father, the only reason we're here today is because of your mercy. Each one of us here could have been aborted, but that was not your plan. So we praise you for your plan for us and your providence. We're thankful that you are a gracious God who loves us, and you not only saved us in our bodies thus far, but you have given us faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. You've given us your Holy Spirit who indwells our hearts, and you grant to us that conviction of sin and conviction of the need to turn to Jesus each day. Father, help us in this and turn us from all of our remaining sin, in which we have great comfort. That despite our sin, you will bring us unto yourself. You will sanctify us and you will glorify us in union with Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray as we look ahead to this year that you would raise up godly governing leaders, men who fear the Lord, who love you, who love to rule according to your law and your word, the principles that are found in your word. And they would, even judges would judge justly and with equity, and pray for your will to be done. We know it is for our good. And so we trust your plan and your providence. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with those congregations in our presbytery, especially those searching for a minister. We pray and ask for the Columbia Church, who I know is having a man come and candidate next Lord's Day, I believe. And I pray that you would be with him, Sam, and that you would watch over him and give wisdom to the congregation there, if that be the right man that you would call there. Father, give that wisdom to them. And Father, we ask that you would be with the Oklahoma City Church. I know they had a candidate, Ramesh, today, and I pray that you would give them wisdom about him. We pray as well for Denison. They'll have another candidate come in March. Pray for wisdom for them, and thankful for Jeff Yelton's ministry among the saints there this morning. Father, we ask that you would watch over all the churches and keep them from error. Turn us to be faithful, even as we've heard in the passage we just read. Make all of your church faithful, even those that are close to us and in our denomination. May they love your word and not sacrifice it for the things of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.